Like for you to turn with me tonight to Exodus chapter 26. We've been looking at the coverings or curtains of the tabernacle. The tabernacle was a building that consisted of boards made of shittim wood overlaid with gold. And these boards were stood upright, went into sockets, and they were held together by pins, long stave-like pins that went through the boards, and some of those pins were visible, and one of those pins, it says, was shot through the middle. It was totally hidden from view. And as those boards were stood upright, then there was four hangings or four curtains that went up and covered the tabernacle and formed the tent. And that's what we've been studying. These things, the tabernacle, without doubt, is a picture of Christ. And that first covering from the inside looking up was a covering of twined linen, a beautiful covering with cherubims and all these colors woven into it, a blue and purple and scarlet. But tonight I want us to consider that next covering, which was goat's hair, and it was spun into yarn, this goat's hair was, and then it was woven into a fabric and sewed together, so many panels on one side and so many panels on the other side. Now let's read here in Exodus 26, beginning with verse 7. And thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be a covering upon the tabernacle. 11 curtains shalt thou make. The length of one curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits, and the 11 curtains shall be all one measure. And thou shalt couple 5 curtains by themselves, and 6 curtains by themselves, and shalt double the 6th curtain. That is the one which had the 6 panels in it. That 6th panel, when you put it on, was to be doubled in the forefront of the tabernacle. And thou shalt make 50 loops on the edge of one curtain that is outmost in the coupling, and 50 loops in the edge of the curtain which coupleth the second. And thou shalt make 50 tatches of brass, and put the tatches into the loops, and couple the tent together, that it may be one. Now the tabernacle was given of God to Israel through his prophet Moses, who was told to be careful. He said, you be careful. God showed to him the pattern of these things in the mount. And he said, you be careful when you go down, how you instruct the people, and you oversee their work, and what they do, that this thing is exactly according to the pattern that I showed thee in the mount. Now you're going to find you can find that over in Hebrews chapter 8, in verses 4 through 6. But you'll find a very similar statement in 1 Chronicles 28, when David began to give instruction to Solomon concerning the temple. And I'd never read it. I know I've read it, but I just read over it and read on with no interest in it. It didn't speak to me. I wasn't on that subject. And I just didn't see it for what it says. But listen to this. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 19. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me even all the works of this pattern. When he was putting together that temple, the same as Moses instructed the people back in the wilderness, and they put together that tabernacle, he said, the Lord made me to understand the pattern. And the Lord made Moses to understand the pattern, and the Lord will enable us to understand the pattern if we give it a careful study. And you can find that all through the book of Hebrews. Will help us to understand that these things were all typical And they were to be observed by faith, looking forward to the coming Redeemer, whom these things were types and pictures, shadows of good things to come. And these types and pictures are very helpful to believers, helping us to understand our Lord's priestly office and to understand His work. I've got three things this evening. Sometimes we get involved in this, and I want you to hear these things that I read and study. These things are very beneficial, but sometimes I forget that I've been studying these things over and over and over and over and over, and I come in here and I dump a whole truckload. Reminds me of that story Henry told about that fella. He was the only one showed up that night. And, preacher got up and he preached an hour and 30 minutes. And that fella was grumbling a little bit after service, and he said, well, he said, I feel like, if you show up, I'm under obligation to feed you. He said, yeah, but not the whole truckload. It was a little bit more than he could swallow. So I'm going to try to limit myself tonight to just three things that I want us to consider as we focus on this second covering. And the first of these things is its composition. Goat's hair. Why goat's hair? Now we know that this is a picture, a figure of our Lord's priestly office and His work. We know that. So I ask this question in the light of that, why goat's hair? We know this is a spiritual house given as a pattern by Moses. We know it must picture something, but what does it picture? Well, the goat was marked out under the ceremonial law of Moses as the sin offering in the ceremonial law. It's a sin offering for the congregation of Israel. To make atonement, the high priest of God must bring two sacrifices, a lamb and a goat. He was to bring a ram and he was to bring a goat. The lamb without spot or blemish pictures the sinless Son of God. He had no sin. He did no sin. He thought no sin. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14 says that Christ offered himself through the eternal spirit without spot to God. That's what that lamb pictured. He brought that lamb, and that lamb in particular was for the high priest. That was his offering to the Lord, that lamb. The goat he offered for the people. So we see our Lord in this picturing himself as he offers himself up to God. He offers himself up without spot to God. He is the spotless Lamb of God. And he had no sin. He did no sin. And he thought no sin. He died the just for the unjust, the innocent for the guilty. But there was also in this, and Don's pointed this out several times, and Henry in times past, that no one thing could picture our Lord. No one ceremony, no one sacrifice, no one priest could picture our Lord. He had to use different things to picture himself. And also in this sin offering, there was a goat. Now a goat symbolizes sinners. When our Lord spoke of His judgment in that final day, He said the Lord will gather all the goats on the left hand, talking about sinners, condemned of God, and on the right hand He's going to gather His sheep. So you got sheep and goats, and goats symbolizes the sinner. And it was, listen to this, it was goat's hair that persuaded Isaac into blessing Jacob rather than Esau. His mama took goat's hair and put it on him to persuade Isaac to bless him. And it was goat's hair pillars. I don't know if you're even familiar with this, but King Saul despised David. And he could just take so much of him. And he'd had it. So he ordered his servants to go get him and bring him to the throne room, and he was going to kill him right there. And he sent his servants, and his daughter Michal, who loved David, took goat's hair and made pillows, took these goat's hair pillows and formed them under the sheet so they'd look like a man under there, and told the servants David was too sick. He couldn't come. And meanwhile, David was going out the window and getting away from Saul. So you see here the, when we're talking about the goat, even though God overworked these things to his good and his glory, we still see these things as things of deception. We see the goat as the sinner. That's what I'm trying to show you tonight. The lamb had to do with the high priest making a burnt offering, well-pleasing in God's sight. And the goat had to do with the congregation of Israel and their sins. And all of this pictures Christ being made sin for us who knew no sin. He not only was the perfect Lamb of God, the spotless Lamb of God, but he stood there in my place so fully that when God looked on him, he looked on the goat. He looked on me. And he poured out his wrath. That goat, his throat was to be slit. On the north side of that brazen altar, its throat was to be slit. And I looked. Arthur Pink said this. And I looked to see, and I couldn't find any place to disprove him. He said the goat was the only animal slain whose blood was poured out under the altar. It was just, you can read about it. It poured, his blood was poured out under the altar. Now some was taken in. It was taken in and put on, sprinkled on the mercy seat and so on. But the bulk of his blood was poured out under the altar. Our sins were laid on him. Our sins were charged to his account. And David understood this. He understood this when God showed him those patterns that had to do with this offering and his priesthood and these sacrifices. David understood this. And in Psalm 32:1, he said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." He won't charge him. He won't charge him. He will not charge him with his sin. He will not hold him in contempt, but grace marks his path everywhere he goes. Can't you go back in time, you that know the Lord, can't you go back in time and see the Lord's hand of grace on you before he ever taught you the truth? I tell you, there's a thousand times when I should have been dead. Should have been dead. But this happened or that happened, and I used to say as luck would have it, and well, luck didn't have anything to do with it. It's grace. Grace, grace, grace. Grace going before grace. He won't charge his elect with their sins. And though through time, and it's true, this is true, Israel, God's elect, fell in Adam. We're born with a nature of sin, are sinners by birth and by choice and by practice. Yet God has never charged them with their sin. You think of it. Their sins were and are even now charged to their substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Now let me give you some additional evidence to this thing about the goat. And I hope to prove to you by this that this is exactly what this thing stands for. Now, if you go back and read the old writers, they varied a little bit in their definitions of these coverings. Not a whole lot, but especially on this one. They went this to this end and to that end on this thing. But I think Pink nailed this thing to the barn door. He hit it right on the button. And I'm going to give you some additional evidence that this is what this curtain stands for. This curtain was to be made in two sections. One section having five panels and the other six. Altogether, 11 panels. Now there are, under the ceremonial law of Moses, 11 distinct places in the Old Testament. This is what I was talking to Don about before the service started, that he wanted me to fax him and look at. But there are, under the ceremonial law of Moses, 11 distinct places or situations in which the sin offering was to be offered. And we don't have time for me to read all these places to you, but if you're taking notes, I'll give you the places where you can find them. The first place is during the Passover, which is inseparably connected to the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and you can find that over Numbers 28, verse 15. It calls for a kid of goats for a sin offering. And then the second place is the Feast of Pentecost. And you can read about that in Leviticus 23, verses 15 through 19. It calls for a kid of goats as a sin offering. And then thirdly, the Feast of Trumpets in Numbers 29, verse 5, a kid of goats. Fourthly, the Day of Atonement, Numbers 29, verse 11, a kid of goats. And then fifthly, the Feast of the Tabernacle, which lasted for 8 days, and upon each day of that feast, a kid of goats was required for a sin offering. Now these are five things that have to do with the benefits. These are five things that Israel celebrated because of what the benefit, because of what this sin offering actually purchased for them. And through covering of their sins, they could celebrate these things. These things were benefits of this sin offering that our Lord offered before God. And there was five of them. And then, as this curtain had five panels, so this gives us here the benefits. And then the rest had to do with the sinner and his total inability and weakness to serve the Lord. He begins over in Leviticus chapter 4, verses 22 through 23, he talks about when a ruler sinned. When a ruler sinned, he had to go get a goat and bring it up for a sin offering. And then it said, as it was for the ruler, so it is for the commoner. If a commoner sinned, he had to go get a goat and bring it, and it was offered up. And then at the consecration of the priesthood, when the tabernacle was set up and the priesthood was there before Israel and the consecration began, it called for a goat. And then at the dedication of the altar over in Numbers chapter 7 verse 16, it calls for a goat. And then for the sin of ignorance, you remember reading about that in the Old Testament, there was an offering for the sin of ignorance. What was required? A goat. Had to bring a goat. And then at the beginning of every month, every time they started a new month, they had to bring a goat and offer it up for a sin offering. 11 places. And not only are its applications the same as the overall number of panels, but they're also divided the same, 6 and 5. And if you can find another one, good for you. But I tell you, I searched through the books of Moses and I couldn't find them. I just flat couldn't find them. Now somebody said 5 is the number of grace, as is shown in the celebration of the feast days. And 6 is forever the mark of man, isn't it? It's man's number. He was created on the 6th day. 6 is the number of days he's required to labor. All of the time which God's given him to accomplish the purpose of God is divisible by 6. You ever notice that? There's 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour, 24 hours in a day, all divisible by 6. And it's 6 that marks the religion of the beast, man, man, man. That's man-centered religion. And then notice this. The inner curtain was called the tabernacle, and the goat's hair curtain was called a covering. You remember as I read through those verses to you a while ago? He calls this a covering. Not called a tabernacle, it's called a covering. And David, I read to you there in Psalm 32, blessed is the man whose sins are covered. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Now we're talking about the atoning blood of our sin offering that which covers all our sins. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. That is, by his a living hope. This is talking about the life that he's manifested through his resurrection. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The sin offering was for an atonement. And Henry used to break that word down to us. He said, just look at it, and he'll tell you what it means, at-one-ment. He makes us one with him. And so the first thing I see in this covering of goat's hair is our Lord Jesus Christ, our great sin offering. And then the second thing I want you to see is these brazen tatches. I have no idea. I've kind of got a vision in my head. You know what a mushroom looks like. I've kind of got this notion of a mushroom looking, a pin with a mushroom head on one side, a mushroom head on the other. And they put it in these loops and then bring the other one over and loop it in, kind of like a button on both ends, and attach that tent to it. But it could have just been a simple-looking hook, or I don't know what it is. It just says tatches. And it's also called a coupling. But there's brazen tatches. Now, you remember the inside part of that tent, the inside covering that was made out of linen, had golden tatches, showing the divine work in this righteousness and the divine work in his priestly office and all those things. These things are for us. It's a divine work that makes them that way. But these tatches were made out of brass. And they were to bring these two parts to form one tent. Exodus 26:11. Thou shalt make 50 tatches of brass, and put the tatches into the loops, and couple the tent together that it may be one. Now the grace of God that brings the benefits of God to the sinner and makes him one with Christ, one with God, is the judgment of God satisfied in Christ our sin offering. Now that's what he tells us in Romans 3. I read to you all that thing all the time. I read and quote those verses. But these tatches were of brass and therefore point to the judgment of God. The altar before which that sin offering was slain was a what? Brazen altar, wasn't it? Made out of brass. Now that altar of worship inside the tabernacle was made out of pure gold. But that altar out there that beast was slain on and its body burned, that altar out there was brass. That showed the judgment of God. And the cure for the bite, you remember that those fiery serpents the Lord rained down on Israel and they were bitten by these fiery serpents and just dying by the thousands. They just falling everywhere. The Lord told Aaron, he said, now you make a, or Moses, he said, you tell Aaron, make a brazen serpent and raise it up on the pole. And then in John's Gospel, chapter 3, he draws a line straight from that brazen serpent to Christ crucified. And if I be lifted up, as that serpent in the wilderness was lifted up. The satisfied judgment of God through the atoning blood of our sin offering is sufficient to cover all our sins. It's sufficient for all our celebrations. It's sufficient for all our consecration and all our dedications, and should be our thoughts as we begin every month. And that's what he shows us in that sin offering through all of those 11 things that I read to you a while ago. And then thirdly, let me give you some peculiarities about this covering. First of all, this was the largest of all the coverings, and to me that just speaks of the preeminence of Christ. It's the Christ accomplished a lot of things, but the cheapest of the things that he accomplished was his sin offering. It was his death. To this hour, he said, came I into this world. Now, he also came into this world to accomplish for us a righteousness. But he tells us over and over in different places that the actual culmination of that righteousness, the very heart of that righteousness, was his death on the cross. He become obedient unto death, it tells us in Philippians. He become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So we see the preeminence of Christ crucified. And this thing, it was large in its size, and it covered the back of the tabernacle and both sides completely. Exodus 26, verse 13, it kind of details that out for you and tells you there what all this thing covers. The blood of Christ covers everything involved in the salvation of sinners. Everything. And it tells us that this covers all. One writer said it stuck out. And Christ crucified sticks out. It covers. It speaks of his preeminence in all things. It was preeminent in the holy place and preeminent in the holiest of all. It was preeminent in all directions, telling us that Christ crucified is sufficient to cover all subjects and all times. And then secondly, it was the only covering to extend past the front and stick out from all these other curtains. All the other curtains stopped right at the edge of the boards. Except this covering. This covering came out the front and was doubled up, looped back up, and went back in. And it hung down and just made room for the priest to enter in. It left a way in. And so when you approach this tent, listen how he says this here in Exodus 26:9. The sixth curtain, that is the panel with the six panels, the sixth panel was to be doubled under and extend out in the forefront of the tabernacle. And this allowed for an opening, and it stood in full view of those who approached this tent, declaring to them that the way into this tent, the way into this salvation, the way into worship, the way into to the holiest of all is through the sin offering. Stuck out. It was preeminent. That's what you saw. If you stood at the gate of the courtyard of the tabernacle and you was an Israelite and you had your sacrifice and you was bringing it there to give to the priest, when you stood in that opening and looked, the only thing really that you could see other than the badger skins on the outside, which was the humanity of Christ, was this sin atonement. It was in full view so everybody could see it. Everybody could see it. And this was typical of several things. First, that Christ, our sin offering, and I'm getting ahead of myself. The third peculiarity of this covering is that it was made by the women. I looked at that for long. I've been telling you about this for the last two or three weeks, and every time I go home, Kathy said, "Well, what is it? Where is it? What are you talking about?" I said, "I'll get to it." Well, this is it. Exodus 35, verse 26. And all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. They spun goat's hair. Now, they were involved in the weaving of the linen and the coloring and the dyeing of the materials, and they brought those things willingly and gave them as Moses commanded. But here in particular, he tells us all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And this is typical of several things. First, that Christ, our sin offering, was made of a woman. You ever think about that? That's the first thing come to me when I saw that. These women spun this goat's hair, made this cover. Christ was, our sin offering was made of a woman. But it goes on. That's not all that he said. He was made of a woman and made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. He must become a goat to be a sin offering. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So we see that he was made of a woman, made under the law. And then secondly, it's typical of the church who by faith put together the spiritual covering by God's declaration and design. These women heard from Moses the design, the declaration that God intended, what he intended to do and what he required of them. And their hearts were stirred up in wisdom to understand what Moses told them, and they put it together. Now, we go in, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And God stirs some hearts up in wisdom, and they put that thing together. They understand what these things mean. And here's that scripture in Romans 3 that I quote to you so often, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. That is, we by faith understand what that means, and we receive it, and we rest in it, and we rejoice in it. And then turn with me to Romans chapter 4. This glorious covering was above the priests, signifying the resurrected and therefore victorious work of Christ, our sin offering. Now watch this. It's talking about Abraham, the father of faith. It says in verse 20, Romans chapter 4, that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he, that is what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed or charged to him for righteousness. And it wasn't written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We see this thing, the church does, and she understands it, and she puts it together, and she worships God that way. God's people put this thing of saving faith together by the revelation of God through his prophet, and they find peace with God.